the presence of the Lord here this morning. Amen. Nothing like the sweet presence of the Lord. Well, Pastor Shane Bruner's not here, so please come back next Sunday. We love him and appreciate him and miss him, but especially for you visitors, be sure and come back next Sunday. That's the pastor texting me right now saying, how's things going? No. Our topic this morning is, may we remember and not forget the blessings of the Lord. May we remember and not forget the blessings of the Lord. We all need to remember God, what God has done for us. Everyone has a story. And this morning I'm going to tell you my story. Psalms 37:25 says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteousness forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. And I can say amen to that. We all seem to forget over time the goodness and the blessings of the Lord. And it's nothing new. It goes back from day one. If you recall, there's been times in your life, whether it was stepping off the curb at a business at a busy intersection or being driving in your car and getting ready to change lanes, and there was a car there, and you just about had a bad accident, or you about pulled out in front of someone. I don't know about you, but I couldn't count the times I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But these are the things that we want to remember. The goodness and the blessings of the Lord. So many times, I'm speaking to myself, you guys are probably not like this, but so many times I take God for granted. I take these blessings for granted, you know. Well, and but we need to be mindful of them all the time. And I think of the children of Israel, and all of you know the story of the children of Israel and how Moses went to Pharaoh and asked that the children of Israel be released, and Pharaoh said no. You also know about the 10 plagues that God brought upon Israel, or upon Egypt. And in doing so, you would have thought the children of Israel, witnessing all these different events happening, they would be so happy, and their confidence in their God would be so strong that they would never complain. They would always be totally happy, never complaining. But that wasn't the case. You remember the first plague was the water was turned into blood. The second plague, God filled the land with frogs. The third plague, if you recall, was lice. Terrible. The fourth plague was flies. The fifth plague was livestock was diseased. The sixth plague, boils. The seventh plague, hail. The eighth plague, locusts. The ninth plague, darkness. You're witnessing all these things, you would have thought the children of Israel especially would be so proud of and so strong in their faith that they would never, ever do anything but serve God. The tenth plague was the death of the firstborn, and that was animals as well as humans. But through all these plagues, the children of Israel were not affected. The Egyptians had all these plagues, but the children of Israel did not. And you would have thought at that point they would have been so thankful and blessed. God told the men and women of Israel to ask their neighbors, the Egyptians, for silver and gold before they were released from Egypt. And they did. God changed the minds of the Egyptians, and they give them gold and they give them silver, and they left with a lot. When they left Egypt, as you recall the story, out through the desert, I'm sure at that particular time they were happy and not complaining. But then they came to the Red Sea, no place to go in front of them. The sea was there. They camped there. And it wasn't long till God changed Pharaoh's mind. He hardened his heart. And they wondered, why in the world do we ever release those servants? So they pursued them through the desert, 600 chariots going through the desert, after the children of Israel. The children of Israel could see in the distance the cloud of dust of the Egyptians coming after them. Well, then they became very fearful and began to complain. Moses, why didn't you leave us in Egypt? You know, and we're never that way, surely. But those people were. And they behind them was the enemy. In front of them was the Red Sea. What in the world were they going to do? Excuse me. So they cried out to Moses, and God, and Moses cried out to God, and God said, Moses, extend your staff over the Red Sea. Moses did, and what happened? The waters divided. So the children of Israel had a way across on dry land, if you can imagine. They took them across, and the Egyptians, of course, as you know, came in after them. All those 600 chariots of Pharaoh's great army followed in after the children of Israel. And then God told Moses on the other side, extend your staff over the water, and the waters will close. And he did that, and all the army and the 600 chariots were destroyed right before the eyes of the children of Israel. What a mighty God they should have been praising and saying, and they probably did. But Deuteronomy 4:9 says, take heed, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. So God is saying, what I've done for you, don't forget that. Share the good news. Share my miracles. Share my mercy. Share my grace with not only your family, but your friends. Growing up, I was blessed to have a great dad that I learned from. One thing I learned from my dad was how to dance. When I would do something wrong, my dad was a good-sized man. My dad was a good-sized man, at least 50 around the waist or bigger, and he would pull that belt off. And I thought that belt would never come to an end. But then he would double that belt, take my hand, and I would dance right before him. But my dad, after he would, today he would be in jail, but my dad, after he would correct us, he would get up on his lap and he'd say, son, this is the reason I had to correct you. You know, when dad says no, he means no. And I told you once and I told you twice, and strike three, you're out. But anyway, he was a loving dad. My dad did not abuse me in any way, but just to be honest with you, I think we need more of that today. We wouldn't be, our schools wouldn't be where they are today, and our problems wouldn't be where they are today. But this is just an older person telling that. So, but in the 1940s, my dad had a great job in Terre Haute, Indiana. He was a manager of a large shoe store. The name of it was Becker Shoe Store. The gentleman that owned it was a Jew, and my dad did very well there. Back then, he made $90 a week, and that was big money in the 1940s. But in serving the Lord, my dad had a call on his life, and he would go around and fill in some of these small churches that were without a pastor for a time, and the Lord began to speak to him. So the Lord called him into the ministry. And his first church was in Brazil, Indiana. And it was a home mission church. And that means that the church wasn't big enough to support itself financially, but the general church paid in and helped pay some of the expenses of the church. We lived in the back of the church. The back of the church used to be Sunday school classrooms. There were three rooms back there. And my mom and dad and us three kids, we lived back there. The church was not insulated, and it was cold. In the winter, it was actually cold. And there was one furnace that heated the church and also, of course, the classrooms back there. It was an old coal furnace. And my dad told us guys, said, don't you ever. We would watch him build a fire there, and he would put some wood in, throw some kerosene in from a metal can, and whoosh, the fire would catch in. And he said, don't you guys ever do this. Never do what your dad did. I know how to do it. Don't you guys ever do it. Okay, Dad, okay. So sometime later, we was all sitting in the living room, and I was missing my brother Kenny, and he wasn't there. And all at once, we heard a whoosh. And coming up the stairs was my brother, his eyes about that big. They were white, but the rest of his face was black. So he learned the hard way that when Dad told him to do something, to do it right. But you know, my grandfather told my dad, said, son, your kids will starve to death. Going from $90 a week to $10 a week. And my dad's reply was, God has called me to preach, and he has promised that he will supply all of our needs. So my dad always, when he prayed and we had devotions, when we get up in the morning, he'd read a scripture or two, and then we'd pray. But his prayer was always like this, especially when he had a need. God, you know that my tithes and my offerings are in. And then he would make his request if he had a need, whatever the need of sickness of the family or whatever the need might be. It's like, and we know we don't need to remind the Lord, but he wanted to remind the Lord, I've done what you've asked me to do. Now back then, he was making $10 a week, so that meant he only had to pay a dollar. Sounds like trivial today, but he did pay the 10%, and I'm sure more. But it impressed me from hearing his prayers over the years of reminding the Lord that, Lord, you know my tithes, in other words, my obedience to you is up to date. And I can remember one cold winter morning there in Brazil, Indiana. We just had devotions, and Dad had prayed that prayer. And then he said, Lord, you know that we do not have any cereal, we don't have any bread, we don't have any milk, we don't have any food for our children to eat for breakfast this morning. But you promised, again reminding the Lord, you promised that you would supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And he basically said amen, and there was a knock on the door. Well, back then we didn't have TVs, so everybody ran to the front door to see who it was. We opened the door, and there was a man standing with two great big, not plastic bags, but sacks of groceries. And us kids just stood back and watched. And the man said, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me and said that your family needed food. And I said, wow, my dad has got a direct line to heaven. He no more asked for it, and there it is. But he lived. He lived the life that impressed me as a young kid. And another time I can remember, Dad was on a Monday morning, and of course everybody's getting ready to go to school. And my mother said, Kenneth, give the kids their lunch money. And he said, oh, Vera, that missionary we had last night, I give my last $10 in the offering. So her response was, and what do you expect the kids to do for lunch next week? He thought a minute, and he said, Vera, go and look in the closet in my black suit in the left-hand side in the pocket. He said, somebody shook hands with me after church, and he said there was something in their hand that crumpled up, and I put it in my pocket, didn't even look at it. She went in there and come back with a $10 bill. But that's the way that my dad lived. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply some of your needs. No. All right, I want you guys to work with me on this. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. While living in Connersville, Indiana, I came home from football practice, and was sick, had a headache and ached all over, laid on the couch. And by then it was getting evening, and the house was located next to the church, the parsonage. And my mom called the doctor. Back then they made house calls. So the doctor came out, and he examined me. He walked back and forth. He'd look at me again, couldn't understand. I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. So he finally said, Mrs. Greaves, would you get the pastor and ask him to come over? I need to talk with him. So he got my dad out of church, and he came over. The doctor said, Reverend, said, your son is very, very sick. He said, I think he has spinal meningitis. And he said, you need to take him tonight to Riley Hospital in Indianapolis, and I will call and make the appointment for him to come in. So they loaded me up, and they took me to Riley Hospital in Indianapolis. But you know, some people, when something happens in their family, a disease or something comes on their family, they're so ashamed of it, they may tell two or three people, but they don't want everybody to know. Well, that wasn't my dad. Soon as he found that out, he called all of his friends that he knew could touch heaven and asked them to pray for his son and for his healing, that God would touch him. And God did. But 3 months there in Riley Hospital, and it was a time that really has changed my life as a teenager. Back then, polio was just rampant. They had the iron lung. I could hear the iron lung across the hall from me. And we were in a ward. On my left-hand side was a good-looking, handsome guy that was a quarterback for one of the football teams here in Indiana. He was paralyzed from the waist down. On the other side of me was a nice-looking young man, high school. He had one leg that was paralyzed. And back then, if you recall, and some of you remember having friends or people that had polio, one leg would be larger than the other, and there were just a lot of serious problems back then. And I was not any better, not a bit better than the man on the left or the man on the right. The only thing looking back I can see is that my dad, as he did in that cold winter day, said, Lord, my tithes and offerings are in, and made his request. Now, you know, when you go to the bank, you can't walk in and say, hey, I need $100 today. Sure, okay, let me check. Well, Mr. Grease, I'm sorry, you don't have anything in your account. How can we expect to draw out when we haven't made deposits? Amen? So Dad had made some deposits over the years. So when he made that request, God did hear and answer his prayer. And the only thing I can think of is, for some reason, those two guys on each side of me, you know, I don't know the history. I don't know about it. But you wonder, maybe their parents did not have faith in Christ. I don't know. But they become good friends of mine. I was in Riley Hospital for 3 months. And every day that I was in the hospital, I would receive a letter from a young girl in Bedford, Indiana. At that time, her name was Vangie Snyder, which would later become my wife. So you can see why I love her today. She stood by me. I don't know whether she felt sorry for me or really cared for me. But 3 months later, it was time to check out of Riley Hospital. And I will never forget this day because, as a young guy, your mind's on other things. But they took me into this examining room, set me on the table. The doctor came in with his white coat. My dad was placed in a chair there in the room. And the doctor would come over, and he would look at the report. He'd come over and take his little rubber mallet and check my reflexes on my legs and my arms and check me over, take his stethoscope and listen to my heart. And then he would pick up the paper again, and then he would repeat the same thing. And finally, he looked at my dad and said, Reverend, your son came in here with polio. There's no doubt about it. And we really haven't done anything other than give him therapy. And he's leaving here with no effects of polio. Yes. Now, my dad said, "Doctor, I don't know what your beliefs are or what your faith is, but we believe that there's a God that heals and answers prayer. He's the healer of the body." And the doctor said, "That's what it had to be." I heard that with my own ears. That had an effect on me. Psalms 103, 1 through 3 says, and you guys help me on this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and that is within me. Bless the Lord, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives our iniquities and who heals," let's hear that again, "who heals our diseases." Amen. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." We took that scripture, my dad took that scripture, stood on that scripture, and I, as a child or young man, stood on that scripture, and I can say, praise the Lord is faithful. You know, your talk is cheap, but when you see the evidence, then you believe. Amen? "Try me, says the Lord, in all these areas." Growing up, people would ask, "When did you get saved?" They'd ask Vangie and I that question, and we'd say, "Which time you talking about?" Every time we had a revival, back then they had revivals all the time, it seemed like the Holy Spirit just convicted us, and boom, we headed for the altar. We need more of that today. After we were married, we had Debbie. It was good to have Debbie with us today. And she became sick and was in the hospital, and we went to visit her, and her eyes had actually sunk back in her head, and she really looked bad and really worried Vange and I. We was actually scared that we might lose her. And I talked to Dad about it, and Dad said, "Son, let me ask you a question." I said, "Okay." He said, "Are you paying your tithe?" I said, "Dad, we can't afford to." He said, "Son, you can't afford not to." So from then on, what we did was take that checkbook that didn't have much in it, and we would write a check, maybe on Monday or so. The first check we would write, instead of our utility bills and car payment or whatever, was the check to the church on our tithes on what we had earned. And it wasn't long after we started doing that until the Lord touched Debbie, brought her out of the hospital, and she was okay. So a lot of times in doing this, we think when we give tithes and offerings, the Lord blesses us financially, and a lot of times he does. But he also blesses us in other areas of our life, in the area of healing, in the area of supplying other needs that we might have. He is a faithful God, and you want to say all the time, look what the Lord has done. Amen. We must remember these things and not forget them. God never consults your past to determine your future. Let me say that one more time. God never consults your past to determine your future. That's a praise the Lord, you know it? Because some of us, where we are today, if we think back, there's things in my life that I wouldn't want you to know. I'm sure there's things in your life that you wouldn't want me to know. But God didn't look back at those things to decide our future. He's just a faithful and a faithful God. Life has not always been easy. But if you have Christ in your life, he makes it easier. All of us have choices in life. Choice, we have a choice to make God our Savior, but he does not force that on us. He loves us, but the choice is ours to make, whether we want to follow him and be what he wants us to be. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. How's your memory this morning? I've shared my story with you, what the Lord has done. How's your memory right now of the goodness of the Lord? Do you remember how he touched you, how he saved you, how he healed you, how he kept you from an accident? And thinking over the past 2 years here at River Valley Community Church, God has been good and touched many of us. We've been in the hospital. We've been in the emergency room. We've been sick in bed. But God has been faithful to each and every one of us. This morning, to honor God for his faithfulness to us, please, I want you to think about this. Please, everyone who has been touched by God over the past 2 years, please stand. Stand right now. If the Lord has touched you over the last 2 years, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, I thank the Lord for you doing that, because the Lord is pleased with that and giving him honor and praise. He's faithful. You may be seated. Thank you. May we always remember the faithfulness of our God. He is so good. This morning, I would like to pray for you. If any needs to know Jesus, he's here. Today's your day. If you need a healing in your body, today's the day. The old year is about to go out. The new year is about to start. Why not be sold out to Jesus in 2014 and start this 2015 serving him and being everything he wants you to be? Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you've reminded us not to forget. You've reminded us to remember what you've done for each one of us. May we never forget your faithfulness. May we share your faithfulness with each other. Be of encouragement and a blessing to each other. What you've done for one, you will do for the other. Guide us and direct us in every area of our life, Lord, that we be faithful to you. These that come forward, Lord, you said today is the day that you will meet all their needs according to your riches and glory. And we just pray, Father, that your hand of blessing would be upon them. Touch and strengthen each heart. Guide us and direct us in every area of our lives, Father. We be faithful unto you. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name.